second year out of North Dakota State, to the sideline. Here goes Lamb. He gets free on the inside. C.D. Lamb. Touchdown. And for a change, no flag.
A lot of flags last night. And Al Michaels, I saw a couple different highlights. He was very upset about the number of flags. He referred to it as June 14th at one point, flag day. And also said that the flags had been used so much they were probably dirty and they were going to need a new set of laundry. New flags. A lot of flags last night, apparently.
There was one that, though, was like... There was like a phantom face mask that took away a big play yesterday. I
saw that. They called it on the wrong team.
That's what happened. Yep, on the wrong team. Put the flags away.
Cowboys are 2-2 now?
Yes, 2-2.
Saved their season.
They still don't look all that impressive, though.
No, they usually beat the Giants by like 30.
Yeah.
And to beat them by 5, they missed a field goal, which was interesting for the spread for anyone out there that had...
Let's go, 5.5.
You got to win there.
From a kicker that makes everything, by the way, including from... Like, he made one from 60 in the first half that just like adds it's nothing to this guy. I think he made a 65-yarder last week, Brandon Aubrey. Who's probably, I think he, by even percentage, I think he's the best kicker in the NFL right now. But he did miss one yesterday.
Yes, he did. 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Welcome in to a football Friday, the weekend, setting up for Bills, Ravens, a Darkness Falls game. That's what they call it, Darkness Falls. Today, a high of 76, overcast, looks like a nice day. We're into fall. It's beautiful. Winds up to 11 miles per hour. You know, just nice, breezy, overcast, 75.
Yeah. You asked a question earlier in the week. Did we ever get to who you want them to beat the most out of the next three teams?
We did not get to that.
Ravens, Jets, and then I skipped the one in the middle, the Texans.
Yeah, is that a good... Is now a good time to ask?
Maybe. Like, I wonder what... Because I'm just trying to gauge even what I think people would say. To that, you could probably answer any of the three, but like for me personally, it's definitely going to be the Jets.
That's the right answer.
It's the right answer. How many are going to say the Texans, though?
We'll find out.
How many
of the next three games?
Of the next three,
all on the road. Yeah. Which do you want the Bills to win the most? Should I? Here's the problem, Joe. If you post a poll like this, 78 people will say, I want them all. Like, we know that. Vote in an online poll. Just try to vote in an online poll without being like, well, actually. Should I do it? Post it?
You should do it, and then we should bet on the over-under of people that are going to reply with, well, guys, actually, I want them to win all of them.
How about all of them? Where's the option?
It's not assumed.
Where's the option to vote for them all?
Yeah. I think you just have to eat that there's going to be 50 people out of 5,000 that vote that are going to say that.
It's like if you put up a poll, what do you like better, pizza or steak? Like, actually, no, I'd put something else up there for me. Like, all right, just asking a question, trying to have a good time on a Friday.
Yeah.
Cowboys over the Giants last night and Sunday Night Football on the way. After this game, Sunday 1 o'clock, then Monday Night Football, and then we can finally relax.
Them are in cruise control with Sundays at 1 o'clock for a little bit?
Yeah, for a while.
What's the longest stretch of Sundays at 1 o'clock they've had in like the last 5 years?
Oof.
Three? Have they ever done more than three in a row in the last four years?
It was a couple years ago they had three straight Sunday 1 o'clock home games. Three straight home. Because I remember, you know, that was in the days of the camper lot, and that was a heavy lift. Three straight, you know, camper lot's a lot of work. Yeah, give me some Sundays at 1. Ready for it. Ready for, you know.
Tennessee is going to be the first of those?
Yeah.
Okay. If they are, man, if they're 5-1 going into the Tennessee game, we are just over the moon about them. Even if they, it depends how the games look. It's so hard to predict. Even if they go 1-2, I still feel like it's very possible we're feeling really good about them. If they're 4-2, nobody would say they would take that. You can do so much better than that, right? 4-2... might be a little deflating, but you're still in it for everything. You're in it for the division. I guess it would depend if one of those losses was to the Jets.
Yep.
Like, that would be maybe a more interesting question. Well, how many people would say, I would take the Jet win if you, and you can give me two losses there. If I'm 4-2, but I've beaten the Jets, like, I'm, that's more of a division question, I guess. But I think we're beyond that. I think we're beyond where we were before the season because of how they've looked. Before the season was just, get me in, or give me the division, and I'm okay. I'll take my chances. Now it's like, we're thinking one seed, and are they better than the Chiefs?
Do you have the odds for the division? Because at the start of the season, it was a three-team, almost even money. Hey, this is a three-team race.
Right.
In the AFC East.
Like, there was a time where the Bills were plus odds. Well, they were the favorite, but they were plus odds to win it.
Yeah, like, so, like,
and then the Jets became the favorite.
Yeah,
late in the offseason, became the favorite. They got bet to be the favorite. Okay, division odds on the year, like, the Bills are going to be
the favorite,
absolutely the favorite,
and the Jets will be in there. And after that, it's over. And that's one thing. At the risk of buying in too early on the Bills, the only drama left. Again, like, famous last words here, okay? I know injuries. The only drama left in the season, regular season, is whether or not the Jets can keep it close. Can the Jets stay in this race? Do they have a legitimate foil in the division? Last year, they did.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Miami in the last game of the season. The year before, they beat Miami by three games. The year before that, New England was hanging around, right?
Yeah.
There's the Hurricane game where New England goes up in the division. The Bills have to win out to come back, and they do get it done.
They go to Foxborough down in the division.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So there have been a couple of years here when, in four straight division titles, some have been easy. Others have been, you have someone with you. And I think, again, 3 weeks in, knock on wood, injuries, all that. The only drama left is, are the Jets close to them? Can the Jets compete?
Yeah.
And there is reason to believe the answer to that is yes. They have not exactly beaten great teams. They beat, what, Tennessee last week, 2 weeks ago. And who'd they beat last week? The Jets.
They beat the Patriots.
Patriots. You got wins over the Titans.
Are there wins that much less impressive than the Bills?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Titans.
No, that's probably right.
The Titans and the Patriots significantly less impressive than the Jaguars and the Cardinals, even if you think the Jags and Cardinals aren't that good.
The Dolphins, Tua is healthy
when
the game is in play.
Yep.
So it's like the full strength Dolphins.
Yep.
That you beat by whatever. The Bills are -180 to win the division, which is the third biggest favorite to win their division in the NFL.
And the Jets are, like, what, +200 or something?
+195.
Okay.
Yeah, right on it. And then, Dolphins, Patriots, way, way, way back.
Yeah, like, it's really only one other team in the division worth watching. The Dolphins, I mean, they might start Tim Boyle or Tyler Huntley. And the Patriots, it's a how long until Drake May starts watch. That's it. You got from a three-team race to a two-team race in 3 weeks.
Yeah, easily. And right now, the Texans and Chiefs are the only teams more likely to win their division by the odds.
Larry in South Florida. Hey, Larry.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was trying to get to Tuesday, but it was busy, so you guys had a good show going. Hey, I wanted to talk about two things really quickly. So what I noticed with Brady, which I haven't really seen since Dable, but it's very different, is the motion. And the motion he's using, like, especially the one where he had Shakir run around the running back, I was like, what the heck is going on? It reminded me of when the Dolphins were at their highest offensive output last year, how they were moving around. But that pass to that first pass to Dalton Kincaid, the long one, and I think it was in the first quarter, there was so much motion going on in that play. I said, I have no idea where he's going with this ball. I said, this is unbelievable. So I would like you guys to comment on the difference between that motion, because when Dable was doing it, it sure seemed like it was just a lot of little gadget plays to McKenzie and a little swing passes to McKenzie. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, and this is just an observation, I was at the Philadelphia game last year where Cook had that drop that was over the right shoulder, the sideline thing. It was right down to right where we were, and it looked like the ball went through his hands like a saloon door. And it was just like the last game, and I think it also happened at the home Miami game. So don't get me wrong, I love Cook. I think he's great, and especially coming out of the backfield, getting 5 to 10 yard passes. He doesn't seem to have an issue. I'm wondering, and maybe Sal would know, does he seem to have a problem tracking balls over his right shoulder, especially when he's got to look up? I think it's different when he's turning and the ball's coming right at him. I don't think he's got an issue,
yeah,
but it sure seems like tracking that way. I'm just wondering,
Maybe try it on the other side.
That's interesting, Larry. I would bet you the Bills know the splits of that to know if there's a thing there. Because I'm thinking about, he caught a touchdown against the Cowboys, and that was, the play went to the right. So you're saying right shoulder, left shoulder, you might have it backwards, right? Cook on the one that he dropped, I guess right shoulder and left shoulder can also be different sides of the field. In the game against Jacksonville, he's on the left side looking over his right shoulder and drops it.
Yeah.
In the game against Dallas, he's on the right side of the field looking over his right shoulder because the throw's to the sideline.
Yeah.
That one he catches. So that's an interesting question. I don't know who might have the splits to that. I would bet the Bills do. You're going to know when we talk about like analytics and this thing, like if a guy drops balls going to his right versus left. Like, for instance, I saw Dan Orlovsky breaking down one thing on Malik Nabers that Daniel Jones throws to Nabers way more often when he's on his left. Daniel Jones throws left more than he throws right. And, you know, if teams pick up on that, okay, well now it's kind of like the shift in football. Like, all right, this guy doesn't throw to his right. This guy only throws here. So I don't have the answer to that. And Sal's coming up at 7. We'll try to remember to bring up James Cook on that.
I'll look, because when he first got here, his reliability, like the question of his reliability was not about this. It was about fumbles. Because of his first play of his career.
He had a couple. First play of his career, first play of the Denver game. Is that it?
Maybe that's it. The last time I remember looking at this, like, he's nowhere near the top of the league in fumble rate. But drop rate, running backs don't drop balls. Well, Barkley drops balls a lot. There are a few.
The thing I would wonder...
I bet he's near the top of that list.
I would wonder if a receiver's coach or a running back's coach, you know, chalks it up to, well, it's a mental breakdown, or if there's a technique issue. Sometimes how you catch a ball can be the reason. I'm thinking back to when, was it Matt Waldman or whoever it was, breaking down Gabe Davis. Why does he occasionally have drops? It's because he claps his hands on the ball, and you don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that.
And
sometimes receivers will leave, you know, will jump when making a catch and take their feet off the ground for the added concentration, and that's, you know, that's not exactly the best thing to do. So, the Bills might have something in that department as well to say about Cook, because you don't want to just chalk it up to, I'm going to get a drop occasionally. You want to find a way to get rid of those. Thanks, Larry.
There are 12 running backs in the league with a higher drop percentage than Cook in the last, since he's entered the league.
All right.
So he's not good. He's not great.
Who are they?
Number one, Josh Kelly, 21%. A lot of them are backups. It's maybe better. Who are the starters that are above him? Jahmyr Gibbs has a higher drop rate. A.J. Dillon, well, he's not really a starter. Zach Moss. And like Jerome Ford.
Okay.
And the rest are like depth backup guys. So yeah, okay. But amongst the starters in the league, he's right up there. His are high profile, which is the thing. They're all touchdown plays, which is maybe a coincidence, but it's just kind of crazy. They're all touchdown plays,
and they're easy. It would seem they look easy.
Yes.
Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law Car Crash. Call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.